By now, most of us have seen the footage of Sylda Wahl Spitzer standing next to her husband, New York Governor Eliot Spitzer, as he apologized to his family in public after a federal investigation linked him to a ring of high-priced call girls. Some interpret her decision as the rightful duty of a wife of a political figure. You stand by your man. But others said it was painful to watch her endure further humiliation for the sake of damage control. Amy Dickinson, who writes the syndicated Ask Amy column for the Chicago Tribune, joins us today to talk about how to handle spousal betrayal. Should you stand by your spouse or not? And we'll also hear from one former first lady who had to deal with this firsthand. So what's your take? Have you ever found yourself in a similar situation? What did you decide to do and why? Our number here in Washington is 800-989-8255. Our email address is talk@npr.org. You can also comment on our blog. It's at npr.org/blogofthenation. Amy Dickinson joins us now from our bureau in New York. Welcome.
Hi, Robert. You know, last night I had a conversation that I bet was playing out in living rooms all over the country.
Which was?
So I said to my sweetheart, honey, if you ever did that to me, I would not attend the press conference. And he said, if I ever did that to you, I wouldn't dare ask you to attend the press conference. So, you know, this is for some reason, this incident seemed like a tipping point to me.
Absolutely. I had the exact same conversation with my wife. I asked her if she would go to the press conference, and she said, get over yourself. You would never have to have a press conference. So I guess that's good. But, I mean, you know, it has reached a tipping point because I think a lot of news stations sort of played this montage of betrayals of the past. And I don't know if they're playing it to be funny or to illustrate something, but it gave us sort of a sick feeling inside to see sort of a montage of pain.
Right. And the thing is, and I actually went through something similar when I was married in a former life, although my former husband was not a politician, so he wasn't quite that skeezy, but and there was no press conference involved. But anyone who's been betrayed knows that you cannot predict in advance how you would behave. I have to say, in my own case, I was shocked that I immediately wanted to repair the relationship. That was my instinct. If you had asked me beforehand, I would have said, absolutely not. This is a deal breaker. But when you're in a family and when things happen that are shocking and unexpected, you go into crisis mode. And in my case, I chose to try and repair the relationship. And well, I'm not sorry I did try that.
Well, it's a great point, which you just don't know what it's like until you're there. We have with us one person who at least has some insight into this, Dina Matos McGreevy. She's the former First Lady of New Jersey and author of the book Silent Partner, A Memoir of My Marriage. She stood next to her husband, former New Jersey Governor Jim McGreevy, in 2004 when he announced that he was gay and would resign. And she joins us now by phone from her office in Newark, New Jersey. Thanks for being on Talk the Nation.
Oh, it's my pleasure.
So walk us through this. Did you have to make that decision to stand there, or was it even beyond the realm of decision making? It just happened.
Well, yeah. My husband asked me if I would attend the press conference with him, and I did not answer immediately. First of all, I was in a state of shock and a fog, and I wasn't able to make any rational decisions. So it took me a while, and I pondered it. I spoke to a therapist, and I ultimately decided to stand there. And I stood there not because I was condoning what he had done, but I stood there in the end for my daughter. I was standing there beside my daughter's father. Not as, you know, the scorned wife or it wasn't something that I wanted to do, but I felt it was the right thing to do at the time. However, he did ask me to do it.
So this wasn't like you were come to by political consultants or
no,
pressure to do it?
No, not at all. I didn't even see his consultants. He had, you know, been in meetings for a couple of days, crafting his speech and figuring out how he was going to handle the whole situation. He did say, however, if you attend the press conference, you can't fall apart. You have to be Jackie Kennedy today. And at that point, I wanted to punch him, but I didn't have the energy to do it.
You, sir, are no JFK, you know?
No, exactly. But I ultimately did it for my daughter. And in addition to that, This is a man I was married to. I married him because I loved him. I wanted to build a life with him. And though you can't shut off those feelings overnight. They don't all evaporate overnight. And you can't, it's not like turning off a light switch and saying, well, I'm going to wake up in the morning and I'm not going to love him anymore because he's caused me so much pain and humiliation. And I agree with the woman who just said, you don't know how you're going to react until you were placed in that position when you have to make that critical decision. And, you know, if anyone had said to me prior to his announcement that I would have stood there next to him, I would say to them, absolutely not. There's no way that I would do that. But you don't know unless you are faced with that decision.
Dina, can I ask a question?
Sure. Amy Dickinson, go ahead.
Why do you think he asked you to do that with him? What was his motivation?
Well, in my husband's case, he was leading a double life, and everything that he did was scripted, and it was all about appearances and how it would look and what it would do for him. Although his political career was over, I don't think he had registered with him at that point, so it was all about appearances. And I believe that's why he asked me to be there. But my decision had nothing to do with politics. It wasn't, and I've been criticized, and people think, well, you know, it was politically expedient. It had nothing to do with politics. This was, you know, an instinct. I had been working alongside him, you know, during the course of his administration, and I had worked with him. I had experienced two gubernatorial campaigns with him, so it was an automatic response. But ultimately, the decision was made for my daughter. I didn't want her 10 or 15 years down the road to learn about what happened and ask me, Mommy, why weren't you there? It was the most difficult time in Daddy's life, and you weren't there.
And can I just offer that you being there, at least in my view, didn't make you look bad, but seeing how quickly his story unraveled so quickly after that, you being there made him look bad, even worse.
Well, I believe that's true for Mrs. Spitzer as well, and for Governor Spitzer. And in addition to, you know, my daughter and the other reasons that I mentioned, imagine the people certainly criticize me for being there, and they ask even today, how could she have not known? But imagine the speculation had I not attended the press conference.
Absolutely. Go ahead.
And they followed me around, and they were staked outside my home. I was a prisoner in my own home for days and weeks following that press conference. They would have found a way to get to me had I not attended the press conference. So in the end, I felt it was the right thing to do. If I were to do it over again, if I had to do it, I would have made the same decision. I do not regret the decision that I made at the time.
Dina Mattis-McGreevy, thank you very much for joining us in Talk of the Nation. Dina Mattis-McGreevy is the former First Lady of New Jersey and author of the book Silent Partner, A Memoir of My Marriage. We're going to stay with Amy Dickinson, and we're going to take some phone calls about betrayal. Let's go to Quentin now. Quentin is calling us from Aiken, South Carolina.
Hello.
Hi. Hello, how are you?
Hello.
Go ahead.
Yes, hello. Yes, I just want to come in and say that...
Hello?
Hello?
You're still on the air, Amy Dickinson.
Yes. I just wanted to say that I feel like I want to ask a question. Like, I know in a regular relationship, and usually if you suffer betrayal, it's a lot easier to work through than if you have a lot of public notoriety. I also wanted to ask, what do you feel like your children, how your children are acting now? You know, how are they taking it now that, you know, it's been some time since the discovery was made? And that's my question.
Well, Quentin, what did you think for a moment before you answer your question? What did you think about what you saw when you see spouses standing by their spouses in time of crisis?
I was shocked. I didn't know what to think. I thought it reminded me of some you know, past, you know, disclosures of infidelity, you know, like with the former president and with so many other political figures. I was shocked.
Amy Dickinson, what about the kids? I mean, we heard about Dina Matos McGreevy doing this for her child and right. looking back later. What do you think about that?
Well, what I think is, and again, my feelings have evolved, if you could say, because, you know, we all say, and I did this myself, I'm demonstrating family values, so to speak, for my child, in my case. But I wonder, you know, after the Elliot Spitzer thing came out, I thought, well, what is Mrs. Spitzer demonstrating to her daughters? That, I mean, what is the message when you stand there silently? Are you saying, this is okay? I mean, what are you saying? And I kept thinking, what would it be like if a wife didn't show up? What would that be like? I mean, what message? I don't mind if my daughter maybe finds out that that's not acceptable.
Oh, you know, it could send a message of strength in the face of adversity. Just
maybe.
A suggestion.
I don't think standing there silently really sends. It doesn't send a message that I want my daughter to receive necessarily. Honestly,
Quentin.
Yes, I also like comment. I always like to say that overwhelmingly. Even after all of the publicity is gone and the cameras are gone, you know, they still have to live their everyday lives and they still have to find some way to continue on. And I think that it's something that we should look into, that, you know, we shouldn't get so caught up into the public aspect of it that we don't forget these people are, you know, regular human beings. And, you know, people go through divorce and these types of situations every day. And so we want to try to, you know, think about it in terms of reality and not just in the terms of, public life.
Thanks, Quentin, for your phone call. Let's go to Monica now. Monica joins us from Medway, Massachusetts. You're on the air, Monica.
Hi. I just wanted to say that I have experienced a similar situation. It was not infidelity, but it was lies. My current boyfriend was arrested, and it was very difficult because we do have a child together. I made the choice to stand by him, even though he had done something that I did not really believe was the right thing for him to do. I felt like it was a bad choice, but I did not stand there silently either. I made the message very clear that this was wrong, this was a mistake, but as long as the mistake is corrected, I will be there, and this is a one-time only stand-up situation. I will not be there next time.
Well, Monica, you probably didn't have a press conference, but did you make this public? You probably had to tell family and friends and tell them what you were doing.
Yeah, it was a DUI, so there was rides had to be arranged, and I think personally that was perhaps the more difficult part, is that when you are with someone, they more or less, public or not relationship, represent you. So from him making this choice and me choosing to be with him, it was almost as if I had done it too.
Well, thanks for your phone call, Monica. I appreciate it.
Thank you.
Amy, I wanted to get your reaction to one of our emails we just got from Jacqueline. She said, let's look at this another way. Can you picture a female politician standing next to her cuckolded husband after spending $80,000 on male prostitutes? I cannot imagine any male on this planet thinking that's a good idea. I feel that women are expected by society to stand by their man through their indiscretions.
I completely agree. And, you know, when I think back, I know we live in a cynical age, but when I think back to the LeBron James story, where it seemed that there was a very... in my mind anyway, a very cynical exchange. There was a lot of story about how his wife was given a huge diamond ring and she then stood by him in court as he went through his scandal. And I just wonder if there's some sort of deal, if there's some sort of bargain, aside from we're married, I'm standing by you. And no, I cannot imagine a man standing silently 4 feet behind his wife as she did what Spitzer did the other day.
We have time for one more phone call, and we'll get this in quick. Madonna's calling us from St. Louis. Madonna, you're on the air.
Hi, I have a question. My grandmother, when we were talking about this yesterday, you know, I brought up the issue with Hillary Clinton, and my grandmother said, why should she give up all her power and position just because her husband fooled around on her? And yet I say, you know, to what level are you willing to give up your own self-worth and self-dignity just to hold on to power? And I'd like to know what your guest feels. You know, it's a very strong argument on either side of that, and I'd like to know what your guest has to say.
Well, I love that idea that your grandmother, of all people, has taken this incredibly realistic view of what is essentially, I gather, both a love match and a very political partnership between Hillary and Bill Clinton. And, you know, if you read about them, you see that this pattern of betrayal has pretty much been ongoing through their relationship. And clearly they have I don't know if it's a bargain or an agreement, you know, honestly, I identified with her when this happened in the White House. I identified with her, and I understood why she stayed, and partly because Chelsea was a teenager. What are you going to do?
Yeah, Amy, we have to end now. We should say that you had mentioned LeBron James. You met Kobe Bryant.
Oh, probably. Kobe Bryant.
Bryant. We want to apologize for that. Make sure we get the names right.
Correct.
Amy Dickinson writes the syndicated column Ask Amy for the Chicago Tribune. She joins us from our bureau in New York for a photographic look back at political spouses' reactions to scandals. You can go to our website at npr.org/talk.